Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 5, and of course we've already preached on and taught on and listened on, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies," and we saw some principles about that. And then we saw last week, or the week before, Brother Derek filled in for me last week, and the week before we saw that thou anointest my head with oil, and some principles about the oil. And then tonight, we're going to look at "My cup runneth over." My cup runneth over. And spiritually speaking, that's a good thing. All right. I guess literally speaking, sometimes that's not a good thing. If your cup runneth over. It can leave stains on carpet. Depends on what's inside the cup. It can leave stains in your car. It can leave stains on your clothes. And none of those things are good things. And being very particular like I am, my OCD, if you want to call it that, things like that, I had to learn that principle as a dad, because I don't like spills. I don't like chicken nuggets and French fries under my seat in the back of my truck. I just don't like that, okay? And so, I didn't want to have no food in the vehicle rule. All right? You might have it, but I didn't want to have that, and things like that. But I wanted to, be careful. All right, let's be careful. Maybe a no sauce rule. But Dad, they don't taste as good without a sauce. But anyway, my house, new carpet, new this, and you fix it and things like that, and then just poof. All right. So I had to learn that, okay, I don't want to make my kid think I love my carpet more than I love them, okay? So I had to back off on that a little bit and say, let's just be careful. Stuff costs money. Let's make it last as long as possible, things like that. I wasn't going to have, if you spill, it's an automatic spanking or automatic 3 weeks of restriction. No, that's not more important. So a lot of times we think about things running over, we think in a negative connotation. Obviously, with all the rain that we have had, there's some things running over around our area. That's not supposed to be. You don't want to think of something running over a dam or over blockade of some type of lock or a gate and things like that, and it's running over and it's running towards your house. That's a negative thing. But this one, this is spiritually speaking. In other words, just running over. It's so good that I just can't hardly stand it. It's awesome, and that's what this is. This is not a negative running over. Like, stop, God, don't bless me. God, I can't take anymore. And so that's what the psalmist is saying here. That, it is like so good that it's running over. Some of us have, we like ice cream, and we're like, okay, I'm going to make myself a one scoop limit. Who wants to do that? if it melts, it's going to run up. It won't melt. I know me. It'll be gone before it has a chance to melt. And, I lived in Florida forever. And, I could still eat an ice cream cone, pretty quick. It wouldn't melt. Put two scoops on there. Two scoops? Are you sure? By the time you get to that second scoop, it's going to be all running down your hand. Nah, I'm good. Go ahead. So there are some times that we want extra. We want some more. There are some times that we don't want things to spill and run over. But this one here is a positive, okay? And so Psalm 23, verse 5, in the third part right there, it says, "My cup runneth over." So our shepherd, first of all in this verse, he's prepared us a table. So he prepared a table. And then we see here, secondly, he has anointed, or if we want to go with the peas here, prepared a table. He's poured oil on our head. Okay? And we saw last time, we talked about it, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, that oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. Oil in the Bible represented some type of healing process. So if we had some wounds after we came through that valley of shadow of death, He took care of our wounds. We also see it in the Bible of a recognition of a position. You know, David was anointed king. Saul was anointed king. Others were anointed, things like that. And so we see that our Lord, in this verse, has prepared us a table. He's going to feed us. He's going to nurture us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to pour the oil, whether it be a wound, whether it be a recognition, whether it be an attaboy, that kind of stuff. And then thirdly, we see here, not only did He prepare us a table, He poured the oil, but He also placed so much into our cup that it just overflows. All right, so we see the three P's in the introduction. He prepared us a table. He's poured the oil. And He's placed so much in our cup that it's running over. My wife, she likes to do this to me. And I usually do it because she gets up earlier than me 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, because she's got to drive an hour. All right, and but on Saturdays and Sundays, I get up earlier than her. So I return the favor. She lets me sleep while she's getting ready, and she tries to be quiet. But then I am getting ready, and she always likes me to bring her a cup of coffee to the bedroom and drink her coffee before she gets out of bed, only Saturday and Sunday. If she wasn't at that school, she'd make me do that 7 days a week. All right, but you know, there's a couple of cups that I'll look in the cupboard up there and say, okay, that's a good cup to take back to the bedroom. Why? Because we have a Keurig. And you know, we hit the 12 ounce, and there's some cups, if you hit the 12 ounce, it's like going back to the bedroom. All right, and I can't move because I don't want to spill. But there's a few cups that'll hold those 12 ounces plus the little cream that she likes in it. And I mean, I can just walk back through there because it's, you know, it's not like right on the brim. So we see here that our cup can run over. But God's saying here that basically what I want to do, I want to bless you so much that the blessings are just overflowing. And of course, if you look at what we deserve and what God gives us, He gives us grace overflowing. All right? He gives us stuff that we don't deserve. And then, in my case, and maybe in yours, He gives us a ton of mercy. In other words, you know, I need it. I'll probably dump my cup out several times a day, and I need Him to put mercy back in there. And the Bible even says that it's new every morning. And there's indications in there that it's even new several times a day if we need it. And so God's like, look, just, you know that song, Fill My Cup, Let It Overflow. Fill my cup, let it overflow. And that's what He's saying. I want to give you so many blessings. I want to give you so much grace. I want to give you so much mercy. And then He says in here in the Bible that He can give us so much strength. In other words, we can't do things in our own strength, our own flesh. But God's like, look, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. And it's like, I can't believe I did that. It was like I had strength that I didn't know I had. And it's true because we didn't. God gave it to us. And He can overflow us with strength. He can overflow us with power. Definitely He can overflow us with love. We can't comprehend how much God loves us. If we think we just get a little bit of comprehension on how much God loves us, then all of a sudden it just overflows. And obviously that's what overflows out of these a lot of times when I realize how much God loves me and how much I don't deserve to do what I get to do, and it just overflows. I can't help it. That's what He's talking about. So, I prepared you a table. I poured some oil, and I placed so much in your cup that it'll overflow. And we can't contain it all. Luke 6:38, kind of a sister verse here of this principle where it's just overflowing. We can't stop it. God loves us so much. God has so much grace. God has so much power. God has so much strength. And He'll give it to us. Luke 6:38 says this, give. So in other words, there's a little bit in our lap, a little bit of our responsibilities. We have to give. And of course, that's what we do every Sunday. We give our tithe. Every Sunday we give our missions offering, and we're fixing to have another mission conference. And we'll give towards future plans that we have. So when we give, or we give of our time, or we give of our talent, or we give of our treasure, we give that. It says here, give, and it shall be given unto you. In other words, so God watches. It's kind of like, you know, the Bible says that He took on the form of a servant. And if you've ever went to a restaurant that they, you know, some places now, I mean, you know, you pretty much have to do everything. Here's a cup. Go fill it up. Put an ice cap. Get your own straw. Here's your food. You put all the condiments on it you want. You even have to put some up together. And then they still have a sign there that said, tip. Like, no. If I'm going to give anybody a tip, I'm going to give it to me. I fixed my own drink. I carried it to my own table. I put it all, tip. Anyway, that's just me. But if you're giving me something, if you're helping me, I want to give back. And so we see that that's what Jesus did. He came as a form of a servant. You need another sip. You need some strength. You need some grace. You need some power. I got it right here. And I'll feel it. And there's some, waitresses, they might try to overdo it. I mean, you take, and they, dude, I just took one sip. Well, I just freshened it up for you. All right? And so forth. But they try. But that's what God's saying. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. So not skimpy. God's not going to be, He's not slack, the Bible says. He's not going to give you a skimp. You finish that, and I'll give you some more. That's not God's philosophy. That may have been our philosophy. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. I want, four McDoubles and, a quarter pounder with cheese. No. You're going to get one. If you eat all that, I might get you something else. But anyway, God's not like that. He doesn't have those rules. He said, look, you give, and I'm just going to give it back to you. And it's going to be a good measure. Plenty. Overflowing. And then it says here, even pressed down. Some of our dirty clothes hampers are like that right now. We'll have to peel those clothes apart to get them in the dryer. In the washer, right? Some of us put them in the dryer to fluff them up, try to go again. But anyway, they're pressed down in there. Or, it's raining outside. And the trash needed to be out 2 days ago, but the rain had... That's what God's saying. Look, I'm going to bless you so much. It's going to be a good measure, running over. You're going to have to press it down, and then sometimes you shake it, shake it together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? So if I see you giving your time, your talent, your treasure to people to serve me and to help others, look out. I'm going to just bless you. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be running over. You're going to shake it, press it down. Then it says here, for with the same measure that ye meet, with all shall be measured unto you again. So how we go through life, not being stingy, God's not going to be stingy. Being loving, God's going to be loving. Being merciful, that's what He says. If you forgive, I'll forgive. I'm just watching you. And I'm your shepherd. And if you'll do all those things, I'm just going to take care of it. So we see here the phrase, my cup. My cup. What can we learn about that? It's my cup. Some of you when I said that, you're thinking of a place in your cupboard or your cabinet, or maybe it's still on the bedside table, or maybe it's on the table right beside your recliner. That's my cup. All right. Don't anybody use it. Okay, that's my cup. It belongs to me. It's my favorite cup. There's just so many. That's my favorite coffee cup, or that's my favorite tea cup, or that's my favorite tumbler. That's my favorite. I think you would have a Stanley if you were going to have a favorite one of those, right? A Stanley keeps your food or your drink cold and warm and all that stuff. But we see here it's my cup. So when we come to the Lord's table, and He's going to rub that oil on us. It says here He's going to have your cup. It's not some strange cup that you've never seen before. It's not even a new cup that you've never seen before. It's not a ornate, beautiful cup. It doesn't have to be matching. It doesn't have to be a styrofoam. How about the red Solo cup? We know those are out there, everywhere. Dirty cup. We shake, shake, shake. I'm so thirsty. I'm going to drink out of this thing. No. It's our cup. Or more importantly, we can all say, it's my cup. So in other words, our shepherd knows what we like to drink out of. It's our favorite cup. In other words, you say, this cup right here, it fits my hand better than any cup in this house. In other words, you're like, man, it just fits. It's like a glove. or it's like my cup. It fits perfectly. In other words, it's got that the thickness of the lip. It just comes out in my mouth so much. So perfect. You know, some cups you go to drink out of and it runs down like this. Right? It's too wide or too thin or too fat. Or you had to almost shake it to get it out of because it's it. No. My cup fits my hand. It fits my mouth. It's just the right size for me. Some people are, they're big cup people. 64 ounce. Goodness gracious, 3 bathroom breaks on the way to church. But my cup. And that's what God's saying. Look, you have your cup. And I know all about you. I know the size you like. I have a few cups that's got Georgia Bulldogs on it. I like those cups. There's a cup. I can't remember where I think my son and daughter-in-law bought it from me, and I think it's from Starbucks. All right. I don't have it because it's from Starbucks. I don't go to Starbucks. I don't know how to order there. I was like, what? Huh? I think I've been there twice in my whole life, and both times, black coffee. I looked at that menu, and I'm hearing all these people saying this and that and other, and shots of this, and I'm a black coffee. Are you sure? Yep, black coffee. All right. In other words, I wanted my own tip. I went and fixed it myself. But anyway, we see that God knows. So He makes us feel like we belong. He makes us feel welcomed. He makes us feel important. So if you went and sat down and everybody had their favorite cup, but then there was no cup at your seat, you'd be like, where's my cup? Oh, I forgot your cup. My bad. What was your favorite cup? Well, you knew everybody else's favorite cup. You didn't know my favorite cup? God wouldn't do that to us. He's like, my cup. So, hey, I'm going to give you a cup, and it's going to, I love you. I know everything. He knows the hairs on our head, or the lack of. He knows all about us. And so He's like, that's so-and-so's cup. Don't sit there. That belongs to them. Our shepherd knows us. So He makes us feel all those things. So when we drink, it satisfies us. The Bible talks a lot about that, about being satisfied. When you drink your cup, it's like, you drink it all down and there's, I'm still thirsty. No, not with God. God's like, look, I'm going to fill it up till it's overflowing and you're going to be satisfied. Says here, we don't have to share our cup. Remember those days? If you had 8 kids, I wonder how many drinks they order when they go somewhere. We're going to have 2 drinks. We're going to have 2 drinks. And, our youngest son broke us of that. We didn't have lots of money when our kids were, wanting. Because, now you go get a water, it's free. You get a drink, a soda, it's like $17. Like, dude. But anyway, we would try to, cut corners, things like that. And we would share with our kids. And so I would always call Jason. I got Jason. I would call him to my wife. I'm sharing with Jason. Because Brian, whoo, backwash king. All right, there was floaties. There'd be stuff hitting your teeth if you were drinking with a straw. It would suck some. He was the backwash king. So I didn't want to share with him. So praise God. God says, look, it's your cup. You have your own cup. And I remember getting my own drink, right? My own food. We didn't have to split. It was awesome. That's what God's saying. You don't have to share with your parent, your brother, sister. There's some places the entire community has to share. I remember at my granddad's house, he had one of those, was it called a ladle? Big bin on there with a stick up, and it was hung on the side. And if you wanted any water, you had to use that ladle. All right? And it was a community cup. But God says, hey, my cup is yours. I got you. And we can start with salvation. Okay? Work out your own salvation. This is my salvation. Some people have tried to go to heaven on the coattails of their parents' salvation. Can't do it. It's got to be your salvation. That's what He said, my cup. The psalmist said, this is my cup. Just like my relationship with God has to be mine, not my parents'. I'm glad my parents prayed for me, and I'm glad my parents took me to church, and I'm glad my parents taught me. But it had to become mine. To have that relationship with the shepherd. I had to be saved. Then I had to start praying to Him and reading about Him and growing to Him. So it was my relationship. So we see awesome to be in church collectively. A while ago when Brother Derek was leading us collectively, those songs, Rescue the Perishing, that was a blessing. All right, but that was collective. There's sometimes I know some people that, you know, that I'm not singing up there behind that pulpit, but I will sing in my car by myself. I will sing in my shower by myself. I will sing while I'm mowing by myself, because you can't, you know, out drown the mower. But you know, that's a song that you're singing about God. It's personal. That's what he's saying. So we can have collective fellowship. We can have collective singing. We can have collective preaching. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, that's awesome. That lets me know I'm saved. Sometimes it lets me know I'm getting out of line. He said, yes, sir. But I'm glad for that. I have a shepherd and that knows my favorite cup. And so God, He wants to bless us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to convict us. He wants to call us. He wants to say, hey, that's your special cup. And so that's the introduction. Number one, there's a couple more things here, and then we'll get to the three-point outline in just a second. First of all, we see here that the psalmist did not say, my cup ran over, past tense. Okay, so he didn't say, my cup one time ran over a long, long time ago. You know, we know that God is alive now. God wants to bless us now. God wants to have a relationship with us now. It's present tense. It wasn't, you know, God was here on the earth a long time ago in the form of a man, Jesus. No. He's still here. Where two or three are gathered, He's in the midst. And so it wasn't a past tense. My cup ran over. He wasn't talking about past blessings. He was talking about right now blessings. So we get the cup full every morning. Now, salvation, you can't get it again, but you can, what the Bible says, you can rejoice anytime you want to. You can think about when you were 10 years old and you knelt down right there and asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and He saved you and you never have to do it again. You're going to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You can rejoice. Build it up. Fill it up anytime you want to. We can get a cup of mercy every morning. We can say, God, I need some strength. I'm fixing to go talk to somebody. I don't know how to handle this. I'm going through a situation. I don't know how to handle this. I need a cup of strength. Put this in my cup. We can get a cup of Scripture every morning, any time of the day. We can get a cup of answered prayer any time of the day. We can get a cup of comfort any time of the day. And God's like, look, I'm not just going to let you run dry. I'm not going to say, you drink all that and I'll give you some more. No, He said, I'll keep it full, even overflowing. So He didn't say, my cup ran over. Secondly, the psalmist didn't say, my cup will run over. In the present tense. He didn't say, one day when I get to heaven, man, I'm going to have a full cup. No, He didn't say that. He said, you can have a full cup now. So, our brain shouldn't be like, I'm going to be right with God one day. Or I'm going to get saved one day. Or I'm going to have the power of God one day. Or I'm going to know what the Bible says one day. I'm going to get to go to heaven one day. I'm going to fast or go to a revival meeting one day. No. God says, look, your cup can run over right now, 2025. And so if it's not, we're robbing ourselves. Because God's got it. You know, it's kind of like the waitress or waiter or server, or I guess it's all connected now. Server comes by, they got the tea or they got the coffee or they got whatever. And you're like, not asking them to refill it. And you're like, having a hard time swallowing because it's so dry. And, I'll be all right. That's your own fault. All you got to say is, can I get some more of that? That's what God's saying. Look, I'll fill your cup. Don't rob yourself of blessings and strength and comfort. Do it now. So we have to realize that life is not a destination. Life is a journey. A lot of people are thinking, you know, when I just get to heaven, everything's going to be, and it will be, and it's going to be better. I promise you that. But we can have a cup full overflowing right now. So He didn't say my cup ran over or my cup will run over. And the psalmist didn't say this, that my cup is empty. God? He didn't say that. This is the cup that the devil wants us to have, an empty cup. He wants us to be empty of blessings and empty of strength and empty of godliness and whatever. The devil wants you to have an empty cup. He wants to knock it over, spill it, break it. That's what the devil wants to do. The next one, the psalmist did not say, all my cups runneth over. Let's just have one cup. Now, again, I've already used it in an example of this, that I have a teacup that I like, and I have a coffee cup that I like, and I have a tumbler that I like, that are my favorites. But a lot of times, people think that these things are separated. No, it's my cup. Right, God puts it all into our life. We are the cup. God's going to fill us up. He's going to fill us with salvation. He's going to fill us with the Spirit. He's going to fill us with the Scriptures. And so, we don't have a church cup, and a work cup, and a school cup, and a happiness cup, and a sports cup, and a family cup, and a hobby cup, and a lustful cup, and an addiction cup, and a money cup. No, it's just right here. Now, some of that stuff doesn't need to be in us. And it's our job to get it out. The devil wants to put nasty stuff in our cup. But God wants to give us holiness, and He wants to give us good stuff. And so, if you've ever done this experiment before, you can put junk down in the cup, maybe some dirt, and turn the water on, and it'll eventually bubble all that junk out of there. That's what God's saying. Like, look, I want to fill you up to the overflowing so we can get rid of that nasty stuff, and I want to just put all holiness in you. So it says here, we only have one cup, and it's our life. God doesn't want to just fill one area of our life. He wants our life to be completely full and completely under His control. So the only way that it can be done is obviously to give God control of every area of our life. Don't just keep a compartment back. Don't say, okay, I'm going to keep this. God, you can have everything. No, no. Just give it all to God. The devil wants us to hate spills. We talked about it at the beginning. He wants us to hate that overflowing. We think that it's a mistake if it spills. It's going to ruin something if it spills. It's embarrassing if it spills. He wants all those thoughts, but God wants us to be excited. So runneth over basically means fullness. I mean, it's right there. It means sufficiency. It means, filled to the brim with blessing. More than enough. Never empty. Unlimited. Continuous. And what did Jesus tell the woman at the well? You can have water and you'll never thirst again. Okay? And that's what He's saying. Look, if you'll let me fill your cup, I'll be there to fill it with grace, with mercy, with blessing, with strength, with comfort, whatever you need, I'll be there to fill it. So if we're the shepherd of sheep, he doesn't mean that we're not going to have financial problems. He doesn't mean that we're not going to have health problems. He doesn't mean we're not going to have family problems and any other problem you could think. He didn't say that it's all going to be perfect. But He did say, I'll be there to give you grace, mercy, strength, comfort, anything you need. And so it does not mean that trouble won't come, but it does mean that He'll be right there to top us off with blessings. And it will overflow. And His water spigot tap is always on full bore. We just have to make sure our cup's there. So if we're going to be ever thirsty, it is our fault because God wants to fill it. So why does God keep us our cup full so we can share it with others? And so that's what He's talking about. I want your life to be so full that people see, like we talked about Sunday, see your good works and glorify God. So Ephesians 3:20 says this, now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God said, look, I mean, you can't even ask enough. You can't think enough. You can't. It's not. It's going to be above that. That's kind of like heaven. I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor entered in the heart of man. God's like, look, I have so much more than you can even think about. So we're going to look at these. I said three, but there's four. I'll give you these 4 points real quickly. Number one, all right, if you want a full cup, you have to want it. You have to want it. Psalm 81:10 says this, I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So I saved you. Right, well, obviously, we know that was a true story, and it was true people, and God delivered them with, under the hand of Moses and so forth. And so, obviously, Egypt is a type of the world. Moses is a type of Jesus, and God is the one that delivered us out. And then it says here, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So you got to want it. Of course, you know, we've all seen Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or whatever, and those birds with those mouths wide open. All right, and Mama Bird is just putting it in there. That's what, if we want our cup to overflow, we got to want it. We got to ask God. And God says, look, I'm the one that saved you. I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I can feel it. Just open your mouth. Got to want it. Number two, not only should we want it, we have to love God. We can't trick Him. There's people out there that we can trick. And we've been trying to trick for a long, long time. Our parents or our teachers or our friend. We've developed some good tricking habits over our lifetime. But God can't be tricked. John 14:23 says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So in other words, God, fill my cup. I love you. I love you. Well, there's a whole lot in that book right there you're not doing. Well, can you fill it anyway? Well, time out. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we, talking about God and Jesus, will come unto him and make our abode with him. So, if we want our cup full, number one, we got to want it. Number two, we got to love God. Number three, you got to ask. You got to ask. You know, people have told you that. Now, look, if you're at my house, make yourself at home, and you know, all you got to do is ask. And you know, well, Miss, you know, Emily Poe said, if it's not on the table, it's rude to ask for it. I don't care what Emily Poe said. If you want something, I got it. I'm going to give it to you. That's what God's saying. You know, again, God says, look, ask. James 4:2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. So God's like, look, if you want your cup full, lift it up. You got to want it. Then you got to love me. Then you got to ask for it. Number four, lastly, you have to receive what the shepherd offers. You know, some people, you hold up, here, I want some of that. And then you go to pour it. Was that coffee? You can't just snatch it out of the way. You know, God's like, look, I want to put holy things in there. No, I don't want to be holy. No, I want to put righteous. No, we got to accept what God wants. So He says here, He wants to fill it with holy things. We should be empty ourselves of self and sin. Maybe change our vocabulary. Purify our thought life. Live by God's principles. Don't compromise. And then God says, look, I'm going to fill it up. He doesn't want it to deal with half cup people. He doesn't want to deal with dirty cup people. He wants to deal with clean cup people and say, fill it up. Well, I'll come half the time to church. Well, I'll read the Bible half the week. He don't want that. He wants to fill it up, overflowing. So if we have a problem, what do? Praise the Lord for dishwashers, whether it be a human form or a machine form. Because you get those cups dirty. But praise the Lord, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a clean cup. And I want it full. I don't want it half full. So God wants to fill us with clean minds, clean hearts, clean mouths, clean hands, clean eyes, clean feet. We could just keep on going. So God wants to overflow because it's required to help us, help others. That's the only way. And that Bible verse, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, basically if you ask somebody to go with you 1 mile, they go twain. In other words, I'll do more for you. That's what God's saying here. If you give, it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over. And so the Lord says, hey, my cup God knows me is running over. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Bible. And Lord, obviously we see this principle about our cup. Obviously, the Bible says that you know every hair on our head. You remember our frame. You know that we're just dust. But Lord, obviously you want to save us. You want to cleanse us. If we do have sins, you're faithful and just. And then you want to run our cup over. Press it down, shaking together, running over. You want to bless us. Why? Because you love us. And Lord, I ask you to help us to apply these principles in Jesus' name. Amen.